Beloved, that is a lofty goal, to behave so consistently in a Christ-like manner that people see only Him in our words and our actions. And it is, in fact, through us, His people, that He extends His love. We are His hands and His feet. As we return to the book of Ruth this morning, we're going to see that principle worked out. The Lord's love for His people is extended through other faithful believers. And thus, as Ruth and Boaz and Naomi showed love for one another, they served as carriers of divine love. This morning we're going to be reading Ruth 3, which is printed on pages 9 and 10 in your bulletin. Now remember that Naomi was an Israelite woman, and along with her husband and her two sons, she moved to the land of Moab. But Naomi's husband and sons died there. One of her daughters-in-law chose to remain in Moab. The other daughter-in-law, named Ruth, had been converted to faith in the Lord and returned with Naomi to Bethlehem. When Naomi returned to Israel, her spiritual condition was poor. She was bitter over her life circumstances, and she viewed God as her adversary. Her view of Ruth, her daughter-in-law, was a little better. Although Ruth had sworn herself to Naomi in a self-sacrificing act of devotion, Naomi told the women of Bethlehem that she had returned there, quote-unquote, empty. But then God intervened. Ruth began to glean in the field of a man named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's deceased husband. Boaz extended to Ruth acceptance, for he recognized that her faith in the Lord made her a true Israelite despite her Moabite birth. And Boaz's generosity toward Ruth enabled her to glean 40 pounds of grain in one day, which was such a tremendous amount that Naomi's hardened heart was softened. And she finally admitted that God had not, in fact, forsaken His covenant kindness toward her. Naomi's words vindicate God's goodness against her previous accusations that He had dealt with her unjustly. Now, as we return to the book of Ruth this morning, 2 months have passed, during which time Ruth has continued to glean in Boaz's fields. But no permanent solution has been found for the problem of Ruth and Naomi being widows without any man to support them. But as Naomi previously hinted, Boaz was a close kinsman to her late husband, and therefore he might be willing to fulfill the obligations of a redeemer by taking Ruth as his wife. And so Naomi decided to press the issue, not because her faith in God was lacking, but for a far better motivation. Naomi had begun to love Ruth. Now, as we read God's word together, I want you to remember that God's love toward his covenant people is expressed by a very particular Hebrew word, the word hesed, which is an unwavering devotion of love and mercy and kindness all rolled into one. And so as we read together, look for how God's hesed toward his people came to them through Naomi as she loved Ruth, through Ruth as she loved Naomi, and through Boaz as he showed a righteous love for both Ruth and Naomi. For divine love comes through common people. With that in mind, please read with me Ruth chapter 3. Beloved, this is God's holy word. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young people you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, 'You must not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." Join with me as we commit these words to our Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you would teach us through your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would show your mercy toward us, that we might show it to others. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I was discouraged. I was behind in sermon preparation. I had been short-tempered with my children yet again. I was really anxious about the upcoming leadership retreat, and I had been given some constructive but very difficult to receive criticism. Honestly, it was one of those days where I felt like throwing in the towel. And at the very moment when I was wondering why ministry has to be so hard, I opened my email. And there I found something unexpected. I found a note of encouragement from Nancy Dirk, in which she told me that she had been praying for me and that I had been on her heart. And hers were exactly the words that I needed to hear. But it was not as though the heavens opened and the Lord thundered to me. I heard no audible voice of God. Instead, divine love came through a human agent. It was through Nancy Dirk that the Lord displayed his hesed toward me. For as Christians taste his love, we will eventually begin to love as he loves. We become instruments of covenant love, serving as his hands and his feet and his agents for showing mercy one to another. And that is what Nancy did for me. Now, in the passage of Scripture that we have just read, you see that divine love comes through common people. The Lord is ever faithful to bless his people. The Lord shows that through the lives of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, because each of them had tasted the covenant love of the Lord, and so they loved one another. And in loving one another, they were granting to one another the hesed, the covenant love that the Lord had first shown them. And so they served as instruments through which the Lord's love was extended. Beloved, the Scripture teaches that since divine love comes through common people, we must extend to one another the love of the Lord. We're going to see that take place in Naomi's love for Ruth, in Ruth's love for Naomi, and in Boaz's love for both Ruth and Naomi. Now, I want you to recall that Ruth's constant devotion to Naomi and the undeniable kindness of the Lord through Boaz had finally taken Naomi's eyes off of Naomi. And in her growing love for her daughter-in-law, she began to seek Ruth's welfare. And so we see, firstly, Naomi's love for Ruth. Look again at verse 1. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you?" I want you to remember that at the end of Ruth chapter 2, the author of the book of Ruth teaches that Ruth continued to glean in Boaz's fields through both the barley and the wheat harvest, which together lasted about 2 months. And so what he's trying to tell you is that from the time that Boaz and Ruth met, from the time that Naomi's heart was softened toward God, 2 full months had passed. 2 months since Naomi had identified Boaz as a redeemer, as one who could rescue Ruth and Naomi from their poverty 2 months, and evidently, nothing had happened. The relationship between Boaz and Ruth had not advanced. But something else had happened. Naomi had begun to grow in love for Ruth. Ruth 3 reveals that Naomi finally began to reciprocate the love and devotion that Ruth had been showing her. And thus Naomi says, I need to find rest for you, my daughter-in-law. For a moment, I will stop thinking about myself, and now I'm going to find rest for you. One commentator has noted that previously Naomi had been concerned for only three people, me, myself, and I. But here she shows her growing love for Ruth by pressing the issue with Boaz. Now, Deuteronomy 25, which we read earlier, commands the brother of a deceased man to marry his dead brother's wife in order to raise up descendants for his dead brother. That was a sacred family obligation. It prevented a man's name from dying out in Israel. And though Boaz was not the brother of Naomi's husband, he was related to Naomi's husband. And so Naomi had hoped that Boaz would step forward and say, I will redeem you, I will take upon myself the covenant obligations of a redeemer, and I will make everything well for you. But he hadn't done that, and it had been 2 months. And so Naomi finally decided the time had come to press the issue, to force Boaz to stop riding the fence. And so she advised Ruth, clean yourself, anoint yourself, put on a cloak, lie down next to this man in a dark, secluded place where no one will see you. Now, modern readers, therefore, have often taken Naomi's advice in a sexual way, as though what she was really doing was telling Ruth to dress up like a whore and to seduce Boaz. That interpretation implies a number of things, not the least of which is that Naomi was motivated by faithlessness or by a desire to secure a place for herself at Ruth's expense. But I think that those views misread the text, because the author to the book of Ruth has already revealed that the cloud of bitterness that entangled Naomi's heart had lifted. Her own lips had vindicated the goodness and the integrity of God. 2 months had passed, during which her faithful daughter-in-law had continued to labor each day for her benefit. And so the text strongly implies that Naomi was motivated by love for Ruth. After all, Naomi explicitly says that she wants to find a place of rest, not for herself, but for Ruth. And therefore, rather than advising Ruth to prostitute herself to Boaz, Naomi was pressing the issue in order to make Boaz make a decision about redeeming Ruth. Now, in that context, Naomi's advice to Ruth to wash and to anoint herself was nothing more than the suggestion that Ruth make herself presentable after a hot, sweaty day of gleaning. Now, one commentator writes that, quote, beauty and attractiveness are not the same thing as seduction, unquote. And he's right. So far from advocating that Ruth seduce Boaz, Naomi was actually advocating that Ruth propose to Boaz. In Ezekiel 16, verse 8, in speaking of how he made Israel his bride, the Lord declares, quote, I spread the corner of my garment, literally wings, over you and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord, and you became mine, unquote. Naomi is suggesting that Ruth lie down next to Boaz and uncover his feet, not in order to have sex with him, but in order to provide him with a visual picture of what they want him to do for them. Naomi's advice to Ruth is pure. It's biblical, it's beautiful, and evidently Ruth understood exactly what Naomi was asking her to do. For if Ruth really were the godly and worthy woman that Naomi claims her to be, and that Boaz claims her to be, and that the scripture claims her to be, if she really were that godly, then would she not have protested wildly if she understood Naomi as asking her to go prostitute herself to a man to whom she was not married? You see, beloved, the entire tenor of the passage teaches us that Naomi was giving sound advice to Ruth because she loved Ruth. And thus the divine love of God comes through common people. And Naomi's love for Ruth is the practical outworking of the Lord's hesed, his covenant love for his people. He works through us. He worked through Naomi's love for Ruth. And, you know, he also worked through Ruth's love for Naomi. He worked through Ruth's love for Naomi. Look again at verse 5. And she, that is Ruth, replied, "All that you say, I will do." Continuing in verse 10, "And he, Boaz, said, 'May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich.'" Ruth showed her love for Naomi in that she valued family obligations higher than personal preferences. I want you to remember that Ruth had sworn an obligation, an oath, to devote herself to Naomi and to seek Naomi's welfare, and she had in fact called down divine curses on her head should she fail. And so when push came to shove, with the question, "Who should I marry?" Ruth was true to her word and was true to her mother-in-law. I want you to understand that Ruth was under no obligation to marry Boaz. She had been under no obligation to come to Bethlehem at all. And while the law commanded a brother of a deceased man to marry his dead brother's wife, no mention is made of cousins or extended family members. A near relative could redeem a woman like Ruth. Strictly speaking, however, he was under no obligation to redeem a woman like Ruth. And therefore, the flip side is also true. Ruth could marry a near relative of her deceased husband, thus honoring his memory and retaining a name for him. But strictly speaking, she was under no obligation to do so, for her dead husband had no living brothers. And yet, Ruth chose not to live according to the letter of the law, but according to its spirit. Just as Boaz had used the law...